never give up on us. Thank you that it's never too late to turn to you. Thank you that we can look to you as our source and our hope and our fortress, our provider. And Jesus, we fix our eyes on you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I try to lead Christmas carols. I just can't do it. They used to stick me with leading it at the Carol Festival when we could do it before COVID. My kids still laugh at me at the way I sang some of them, so anyway, that's all right. I try. Well, this morning, actually, before I jump into the message, there's one thing I forgot to mention. Next Sunday, we usually do just kind of a special Sunday morning where we open it up for people if they want to read a scripture or share a short story or a poem or anything like that to do with the birth of Jesus, to do with Christmas. If any of the kids would like to play a song, I know sometimes some of the kids have been learning instruments and piano and whatever, and if you'd love to come play a carol, we'd love to hear it. So I know the Sunday school kids, I believe, have a song they're working on, and if any of you would like to participate in that, just let me know, and we will kind of customize the service to whatever we got. So if you would like to add something, sing something, share something, just let me know before Sunday. All right? All right. Well, this morning, I had a change of plans. Yesterday, we were in Shaunavon at my son's hockey tournament, and I thought I had my sermon basically done, and was going to give you this nice Advent sermon on joy. And I got home, and as I began to just kind of pray through it and think through it and to finish it, I just felt like the Lord was like, nope. And so I want to talk to you this morning about breakthrough. And this is just what I feel like is what is on God's heart. And it still has to do with Christmas, the Advent theme. But I just felt like this is where he wants to go this morning. So I'm winging it a little bit for Jesus this morning, but that's all right. There are times in life when it feels like God is silent, when the darkness appears overwhelming, when a path forward seems impossible, and when chaos has gained the upper hand in our lives and in this world. What if, however, in the midst of silence and darkness and impossibility and chaos, what if there is a glimmer of hope? What if there was a life-giving word, a ray of light, a real possibility, a steadying hand that you know, God's breakthrough miracle in Jesus 2,000 years ago still breaks through the silence and the darkness and the impossible and the chaos of our lives today? Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for this morning, and I pray that you would help me as I share what I believe is on your heart for us today. And God, I pray for breakthrough in every single one of us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that Advent comes from the word coming? And so there was a sense 2,000 years ago that something, someone was coming. The Messiah was coming. And people were waiting for him. They were waiting for the Messiah to bring freedom, to bring deliverance from the oppression that they lived in. And it wasn't like a passive waiting. The kind of the impression with Advent, the whole sense of it is that there is a waiting on the Lord and a waiting on the Messiah. There is an active seeking of him and for him to come. It's not about the next chocolate, the next day in your Advent calendar. It's not about the gifts or the big meals that we're going to share with family. But it represents a hunger, a deeper hunger to be satisfied when we find Jesus, when we find our hope in him. And so there's a waiting and a contending for the breakthrough, for deliverance, a waiting for Messiah, God's anointed. And so I looked up in the dictionary last night, breakthrough, and what does it actually mean? And here's a couple just things out of the dictionary. It means a sudden advance, an act of moving through or beyond an obstacle, passing through a barrier. And it's a term that comes from warfare, and it means an assault that penetrates and carries beyond a defensive line. How many of you in some area of your life today could say, I could use some form of breakthrough somewhere? I think we all can. And Jesus came to bring breakthrough in our lives. He came to make a way. He came to actually open the door for us to have a hope, to have salvation, to have life with him. And so he came as a light. The Bible describes him as a pure, perfect light that pierced the darkness. And so to set the scene at the Christmas story, you know, there was silence from the prophetic, from God for 400 years. It had just gone quiet. It had gone dark. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of oppression and difficult times that they were facing, a light came. And Jesus came to pierce through the darkness. And there were people that were waiting, contending, praying. There were people, you can look in Luke chapter 2, I won't read those stories this morning, but Simeon had waited and waited. And the Lord had promised him that he would see the Messiah before he died. Well, he was an old, old man. Anna was a prophetess who had been waiting. The Bible says, refers to her being divorced, or not divorced, sorry, widowed for 80, I told you I'm winging it. Been a widow for 84 years, okay? And waited in the temple. The Bible says she went to the temple daily to wait on God, to wait on the promise, to wait on him. You know, Jesus coming threatened people. You'd think that people would be excited and thankful and hopeful, and yet many in the establishment were not happy. Herod wanted to kill him. He was felt threatened. The religious people were not okay with this because it threatened their authority and their life. You know, sometimes God asks permission before he breaks in our life. Sometimes he just comes and everything changes, right? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." There is a light that came for you and I to shine, to pierce through the darkness, and become very apparent in our lives. It's interesting, I was thinking about this. Christmas is the time of year where there's the least amount of daylight, naturally, right? Like the shortest day is coming up right around the corner here. And yet, it's the time when we celebrate the light of Christ coming. And of course, the darker it is, the brighter a light shines, right? I just want to encourage you this morning that I believe, if I was just to give you the whole message in a few sentences, I believe that Jesus is your answer. He's the answer to the breakthrough you've been praying for, contending for, and waiting for today. And he's here today, and that though this may have been a really difficult season this last, well, we keep saying, we went from 2 weeks to a year to whatever we're at, 2 years now, whatever this is, this may have been a hard season, and it may have not had nothing to do with COVID. It may be, I have felt that there's many people in our church family that have struggled in this last while. People have lost loved ones. They've struggled with family issues. There's been all kinds of challenges that people have faced. And I just want to encourage you that I really feel that there is a shift coming, that Jesus is going to bring breakthrough in your life. And I don't know how exactly that's going to look or be in each individual situation, but he's your answer. And where I'm believing that where there's been confusion, clarity is coming. Where there's been pain, that healing is coming. Where there's been hopelessness, that hope is coming. That he will bring breakthrough and clarity and direction for you in this season. Amen? I don't know if some of you believe me. There's just kind of a look like, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you want breakthrough? Do you believe that he can do it? Jesus came 2,000 years ago to shift things and change things, and he's doing it still today. He is your hope. In fact, you don't really need breakthrough until you're at the place where you're like, God, I got no other hope but you. Because how many times have we tried to get there on our own? I tried to make it happen. I tried to, whatever, provide for my needs. I tried to do this and that. And until we get to that place where it's like, Jesus, I surrender completely. Many times he waits for us to get to that place in our heart where we just say, Lord, I'm hooped without you. I need you so bad. Would you come? I don't know about you, but there's many suddenlies in life where God just shows up, where he just changes things in the moment, where he just speaks into something, and it's all different. I remember experiencing God's healing in my life. I've shared many of those stories. Well, that changes you. It changes you. I remember experiencing his love, being in university and just trying to find my way and being hungry and desperate for something real and looking for something more than what booze or party or whatever could offer and thinking there's got to be more. And in that moment, in a random weekend at the Bible College, just happened to be there, invited to be a part of their worship team, not living for God. And in the prayer times beforehand, it wasn't a preacher, it wasn't a sermon, it wasn't anything like that. It was just literally in the pre-service prayer where God sovereignly just said, today's your day. And he revealed his love to me. You know, and I'd seen the faith of my parents, I'd seen the life that God had in their relationship with him, and it was encouraging, but I didn't know it for me. And in that moment, everything changed where I knew that God loved me for who I was. And that changed the trajectory of my life. And you need to know that God loves you, not just as a concept or an idea, but that he truly cares for you and loves you. And he has a plan for your life. And he is your savior. He is your provider. And even in the midst of chaos, he can help you find a way forward. Amen? I think that's good news. I hope you're alive. I hope you're glad to be here this morning. Sometimes we go through a process to get to the place where we can actually surrender. We go through a process to get to a place where we can say, God, have your way. Because we have our own dreams and our own ideas of how things should go. And we have our own idea, even when we pray sometimes, like, oh God, please bring breakthrough. But in our mind, we're thinking, but you have to do it this way and on this timeline and through this person. And he doesn't always do it that way. But I do know that God, I know a God who can change everything in an instant. And sometimes it's an instant like right now, and sometimes his answer to that prayer, like we can see with Simeon and Anna, it can take years, decades, which is hard. And the Jews had waited and waited and waited. But I think our attitude needs to be, God is faithful. And I trust him no matter what. Can you trust him today in the middle of whatever mess you're in, whatever struggle you're facing, whatever hardship you're in? Can you trust him? Do you trust that he has the best in mind for you? Do you trust that he actually loves you and will never leave you or reject you or forsake you? Do you trust him with your finances, with your job, with your family, with your kids and grandkids, your spouse? Can you trust him? Can you trust him even when it isn't going the way you think it should or is supposed to? Can you trust him when it doesn't feel comfortable or easy? In Luke chapter 1, and I think just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the full stories, but in Luke chapter 1, there's two things that I was thinking about this morning. There's a story of Mary, where the angel comes to Mary, the angel Gabriel, and I'll give you Paul's paraphrased version. You guys can kind of follow along if you like, but the angel comes to Mary and says, hey, surprise, you're going to have a baby. And I was actually sharing some of this with the youth on Friday, which, by the way, four kids gave their heart to the Lord Friday night, which was really awesome. So thank you, Jesus. So I'm sharing this story, and I explained to them that back then, people usually got married 12, 14, 15 years old. And their eyes got really big. And the truth is, I mean, many people, they only live till 30, 40 years old, right? And so it was a different, like, you got married younger, you had kids younger. And so Mary would have been in that age, at 12, 13, 14, like young. And an angel shows up and says, hey, greetings, highly favored one. Like, you're going to have a baby. And she's betrothed, which is engaged, but kind of engaged on steroids. Like, there was actually like a contract. You were basically married other than having sex. You were still living at your parents' home, but you were more than just like today where someone says, like, yeah, it's a promise, I'm going to marry you. There was more involved than that. And so for her to all of a sudden become pregnant before she is actually fully married to her husband and sleeping with someone was a big deal. And so there's this whole little interaction where you see where Gabriel shares with her, this is what's going to happen. And she's kind of confused, like, I didn't think it was from drinking the water. I thought I actually had to, you know, sleep with my husband to get pregnant, right? And And the angel tells her, you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And of course, there's a reason for that, right? For Jesus to come as a pure, spotless lamb, as for him to come as a pure person, he had to be partially, like there had to be a pure line of DNA, right? Because every single one of us, since Adam and Eve chose to sin, we're born a sinner. You're actually born a sinner. Simply genetically, you inherit that. That's why every single person, doesn't matter if you've been a really good person since you were born, we all need Jesus. We all have no hope without him. Every one of us is in the same boat, spot, whatever you want to call it, and we need him. And so that's why we had Mary, but then we needed the DNA from God to make a perfect sacrifice for us. And so Jesus was born that way, but of course, that meant that she had to go through a lot because her reputation was out the window. People would have thought she was sleeping around, that she was not faithful. And in fact, it would have been Joseph's right to actually stone her to death. Different world. But you know, Mary's response was, may it be as you say. Very last. Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And so in the midst of just doing life, God showed up. And he showed up with a purpose to bring breakthrough, even though she didn't understand it all in the moment, for sure. And sometimes God shows up and speaks to us and leads us and directs us in a way that we did not expect or see coming. And he does it for the either for the good of our life and our future or for those around us. You know, I really believe, I just want to say this really clearly this morning, I believe that Jesus came to bring breakthrough for you. I believe that he is here to bring breakthrough for you. And I also believe that he is wanting to partner with us to bring breakthrough to other people. Because we are called to share the good news, the life of Christ. We are called to be a light just like Jesus is. Amen? So you and I are called to be vessels of breakthrough too. We're called to bring hope and life and help people move forward and help people bring and see gain in their life where they've been bound or where they've had hopelessness. You are the person to bring the good news that Jesus is alive today and he wants to move in you. So we don't get to just be spectators. We are called to be in, all in. We're in a war whether we like it or not. It's true. Okay, I want to jump to the other story in Luke, and this is actually just before this, before the angel shows to Mary, and it's the story of John the Baptist being announced. It's Zechariah and Elizabeth, who, Zechariah is a priest, and the Bible says they're old. Okay? They're old. They're past the usual age of having babies. And Zechariah gets chosen at just the right time to be the one who goes in and performs the priestly duties, and it's in this time he goes into the temple and sees an angel. And Zechariah has a very different response to the angel showing up and saying something's about to change. Zechariah doubts. Mary believed. Mary was okay and she just trusted. She said, okay. And Zechariah said, we're old. Maybe at this point he wasn't sure he wanted a kid anymore. I don't know. Probably had seen all his friends and relatives having babies and not sleeping and thought, you know, at this age, I'd rather just have a nap. But no. The angel says to him, you're going to have a baby. He doubts. And, you know, if an angel ever shows up to you, pray that he's not in a bad mood. Because Gabriel was like, I stand in the presence of God. I came to give you a message. And you're not going to talk again until what I said comes true. And so in that moment, we see that Zechariah comes out of that, not able to talk. People are like, what has happened? But there's been a shift. There's been a change. And of course, his wife becomes pregnant. And there's the whole story. Well, we have a choice when we're faced with God speaking to us, when we're faced with challenges in life. Do we believe or do we doubt? If God has given you a promise for your life, do you believe him or do you doubt? God can take a barren person and make them fruitful Even after years and years and years of bad choices, of mistakes, of bad habits, of failing over and over and over again, he's never done with you. We need to say yes to him and trust in him and say yes to his call and his promises for our life, and it's never too late. It's never too late for me, and it's never too late for you. Thankfully, God is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, thousand chances. He can see the value in you and the potential in you because he put it there. So even though you royally screwed up sometimes, me too, he still says, I see what I've put in you. It's beautiful, it's amazing, and I'm calling you to come. And you know, it's a choice and a call that we have to make every day. You know that people can go to church for years and years and years and never have any intention or desire to change. You can read your Bible even and memorize lots of it. But unless you in your heart say yes to Jesus and actually follow him and let him transform your life, you just become a religious nut. The change comes from saying yes to him. The change comes from obedience. The change comes from seeking him and letting him transform you. All this other stuff can be superficial. I can put on clothes and go to church and put on a nice smile, say, I'm good, everything's perfect, and then go swear, cheat, and drunk, and hit my wife and whatever the next day if I want. Right? We probably have known some people like that. God wants to transform us by his light coming and breaking through and breaking off the sin, breaking off the hardship, breaking off the junk in our life so that we can reflect his glory to the world around us. It's not about looking nice on the outside. It's about being changed, transformed on the inside. And I'll be honest with you, well, it's kind of like going to the dentist. How many of you guys go to the dentist and you know as soon as your teeth are done being cleaned, you know what the comment's going to be, right? You need to floss a little more. Here's some free flossers for you. And how many of you actually use it? I admit, not every day. Am I alone? No, I didn't think so. We need his word in our hearts and in our lives. But we have to say yes to him. We have to engage our faith with him where it all becomes surface level and there's no change. And I'll be honest, many of us love the idea of God changing our circumstance that we're in, but not changing us. Anybody been there? Jesus, please get me out of this mess. Jesus, please help. But change all this out here, not in here. Or maybe that's just me, I don't know. We often are just like, I don't like telling too many stories about my kids, but there's a pattern, okay? If you've ever been around kids, you'll have seen this. All it takes is two, okay? One does something to the other one, and they're mad. And they start hitting, kicking, shoving, whatever. And the other one retaliates and hurts the first one worse. And then the parent or whoever's watching them steps in and goes, what's going on? And there's excuses, right? Well, it's their fault. They did it. They did this first. It made me do this. And it escalates, right? And you're trying to tell them, like, I don't care about all the details. I'm trying to teach you not to return evil for evil. I'm trying to teach you how to be kind and forgive and move on and not hold a grudge. And they're still trying to explain that, no, it's their fault that I behaved like this. And you know what? I think we do that with God sometimes. He is calling us to change. And it's like, God, I'm too scared. God, I'm not good enough. God, I'm not able. God, I'm not strong enough. God, I don't have enough money or time or excuse, excuse, excuse. He wants you. God is close to the brokenhearted, it says in the Bible. And sometimes we have to come to a place of actually breaking before we can see the breakthrough and fully walk with Jesus. There's a story in John chapter 5, the Pool of Bethesda. I was having a hard time picking which story because there's so many stories in the Bible. You know, you can think of the story of Saul with breakthrough on the road when he's going to Emmaus, how the light of Jesus, he encounters the light and his life is forever changed. You can think of the story of Peter having a vision. We've been learning these stories as we've gone through Acts, right? The story of Peter and the vision and his mind being blown, like the gospel is for everybody, not just Jews. And you can think of Cornelius and his family and how the Holy Spirit shows up and fills them. Well, there's a story like that in John chapter 5, and I think I totally forgot to put that up there. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But it's John chapter 5, and it's the story of Jesus coming to the Pool of Bethesda. And, you know, this story, you've probably heard it many times. But Jesus is here. There was this pool, and we don't know all the details surrounding this, but the story is there were sick people would often stay around this pool, all right? And they would... the reason was, is they say in verse 3 and 4, now in some versions this isn't even in there, but it says they lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And so there was a man there who had an infirmity for 38 years, all right? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he was... already had been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, this is a really interesting question, do you want to be made well? After 38 years of being stuck there, do you want to be made well? Do you want to change? Is it everybody else's fault? Is it everybody else's problem? Are you a victim, or do you want to be whole and healed of all the roots of the problems and the challenges that you have? Under the shelter of religion, there are sick and lame and blind people who won't be healed unless they do the work of stepping into the pool. But here, Jesus comes to them. Jesus accepts you the way you are. He doesn't hold the weight of the law over your head to be able to come to him, to be able to experience his healing and his breakthrough. You get to come, and I get to come just as I am. Just before that, in John chapter 4, there's the woman at the well. And Jesus talks to her and shares with her how he is the living water. He is the well. He didn't bring a bucket for her to fetch him some water because he is the well that living water comes out of. And in this moment where there's a crippled man, he comes to him where he can't get in, where religion fails you, Jesus comes and brings life. And he wants to bring breakthrough to you today. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. He comes to you. You just have to receive him and accept him. You don't have to have it all together. Are you guys with me? We can come to church or a Bible study or whatever for comfort, for entertainment, and we can leave completely unchanged. In fact, you know, the pool had all kinds of sick and disabled people that found comfort in each other because they were all in the same place. We need Jesus. We don't need religion. We don't need rules. We need him. And we need the breakthrough that only he can bring. We need the life and the hope and the joy and the strength and the peace that only he will bring in your life when you say yes to him, when you believe in him and trust in him and surrender your life to him. You can't find it by just being nice, by even memorizing some scripture, by it takes you engaging and saying, I am all in. And we see in verse 7 here, the sick man said to Jesus, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And we might feel today like I have every reason and right to be offended, to be bitter, to be angry, and to be stuck in living the life that I am living. And Jesus is saying, I am coming to you. Right now, do you want to be free? Do you want to change? Will you let me into your heart and let me heal the pain that's been there for 5, 10, 15, 20 years from when somebody said something to you or treated you awfully, and you have every right in the natural sense to be offended and to be angry and to be hurt. But if you hold on to that, it destroys your future and it causes you to have broken relationships and a broken future because you cannot be whole. And he's saying, will you let me in? Will you let me be the one that brings you comfort? Will you let me be the one that actually is your friend? Will you let me be the one that brings you satisfaction and fulfillment? Or will you look to other people or a bank account or whatever? So I want to end with this. I feel like if you want to position yourself to find breakthrough with God, you need to get your heart right with him. And I think the biggest thing is we need to repent of our pride, of our selfishness, and any junk that's in our heart, and just say, Jesus, I'm ready, I'm available, and we have to start seeking God. You know, people will not necessarily like it when you find Jesus and when you find freedom in him. And when you begin to grow, sometimes that bothers people. Did you know that? When you actually start to advance and find that breakthrough where you're starting to walk and live in more joy and more peace and you're finding fulfillment in him, it actually irks every religious bone in people around you. And they may actually not like it. And they may say that's not how God moves. That's not how he speaks. That's not how he does it. There may even be challenges to you. You may have people that actually start to reject you as you walk into new levels of freedom because they're jealous, because something in them goes, I don't have that. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you or warn you that as you grow in your walk with God, it may tick some people off. And there may be people in your life right now that say, I don't want whatever you've got. David, as a shepherd, understood that God was his source and his hope and his provider. That's why in Psalm 23, he wrote that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or I have all that I need. David said, the one thing I seek is to dwell in his house, to be in his courts forever, to be in God's presence. Psalm 34:10, he said, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Matthew tells us to seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. You get the picture? We're called to seek him. We're called to go after him. We're called to pursue him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Don't give up, don't lose hope, but seek God. Keep pressing in. Don't lose hope that Jesus has a plan, a good plan, and a future for your life. God has not forgotten you. Many people missed Jesus when he came. They missed who he was. They missed the good news. They missed the hope that he brought because they had put who the Messiah was in a box. And they completely missed the truth. And we need to make sure that we don't put God in a box and say, you can't come out of there in any area of my life but Sunday morning or whatever. So the answer is to seek him with all of our heart, to pray, and to obey. I think Mary is a pretty strong encouragement at 12 or 13 or 14 years old saying, may it be as you say. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. This is really scary. But Lord, may it be as you say. King Saul died because he didn't seek the Lord. And David became king because he did. Juan, do you mind coming? So I want to pray this morning for breakthrough. And I want to pray that you experience God in a fresh, new way during this season. And I know that Christmas season can be the busiest, craziest time of the year, but I pray that you would experience his goodness and his love and his breakthrough. And I know that every single one of us have areas in our life where we are like, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't make it from A to B without you. I either don't have the answer, it's out of my control, whatever it might be. I need you, Lord. I need Emmanuel, God, with us. I need the breakthrough that only you can bring. In 1 Chronicles 14, there's a story of how David, when he became king, the Philistines came to attack. They wanted to wipe him out. And he went to God and he said, God, should I attack them? And God said, yes. And he drove them out. Then it says a little while later, the Philistines came again. And instead of just going and attacking them again, he prayed again and said, God, should I attack them? And God said, no, not the same. Go from behind and wait in the mulberry trees until you hear marching in the tops of the trees. And then you know that I'm marching before you and going to bring you victory. I imagine in a story like that, in that scenario, many young soldiers would have been like, why are we not doing this the same as last time, where we just ran right at them and kicked some butt? And the older ones would have been saying, listen, it's not about what worked last time. It's not about what you've seen before. It's about what God is saying right now. And I just want to encourage you that we need God's plan for our lives today. And it's not about what we've seen in the past. It's not about how things have happened before, but it's about, Jesus, what do you want to do today? I need your plan, your strategy for my life right now. And I need to hear from you, Lord. Proverbs 24:16 says that though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. So I just invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. And I want you to think about the stuff that you're facing today that is impossible without God. The areas in your life where you want to see breakthrough, the areas where you want to see advancement, the areas you want to see pushing forward that will not stay the same. And maybe it's attitudes in your life, maybe it's provision, maybe it's direction, maybe it's relationships with people at work or your spouse or kids or grandkids, whatever it is. We all have many things that are really a lot of it's totally out of our control, and we need God to step in, or we need his divine strategy. And what we see in the Bible, just like I've shared this morning, is that we get our hearts right, we seek him, we pray, we talk to him, and we listen, and then we obey.